Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can subscribe to us. Email us any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Hit us on Twitter at @LockedOnBulls. Hit us on Facebook at @LockedOnBulls. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, the Olympics are underway. Three Bulls are playing in the Olympics, and each of them has now played in one game.
Yes, and we have one winner, Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
Team USA. No problems with China. Playing the poor Chinese for the third time in 2 or 3 weeks. The first two were exhibition games, and I think this one was the worst game for the Chinese.
57-point blowout.
Yeah, didn't go well. It did go well for Jimmy Butler, though.
Yeah.
8 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists for Team USA. Got out there 16 minutes. We got ESPN stories being dispatches from the game, talking about the Americans' defensive identity, crediting Tom Thibodeau to a large degree. Jimmy Butler, heck of a defender out there. I guess it's rolling along just like we would expect.
Yeah, I think out of the three teams in the Olympics that have Bulls players on them, the USA performances are the ones we can read the least into, because you know every single, like, the only guy, I was looking at the box score yesterday after the game, the only guy on the USA team that played more than 20 minutes was Kevin Durant playing 22 minutes. They're just blowing teams out by so much that, like, there's really no difference between these games in the Olympics and the exhibition games that they were playing before the Olympics started.
Yeah, and we just got done watching Spain and Croatia.
That was actually a pretty good game.
It was a fun basketball game as it pertained to Bulls players. Nico Mirotic had a good game. 19 points, 7 of 14 field goals, 4 of 8 on three-pointers. And
yeah.
Sean is, if he's nothing else, he is a surveyor of Nico Mirotic's pump fakes and a record keeper, chart maker almost, in some regards. And you're telling me after watching this closely, no pump fakes for Nico. He's just firing away?
Not on the ones that he made.
Okay, so he did have a few where he was
right.
You watched the game in its entirety. I didn't catch all of it, but it was a good performance for Nico. Not quite the ending Nico wanted. Not the ending former Bull Pau Gasol wanted. Spain down 2 in the waning seconds. He was rejected at the rim by Dario Saric. Future Philadelphia 76ers something. We don't know if that's star, standout, or draft bust yet.
Either way, the process is being trusted right now.
The process played out in front of our eyes. The long-since-departed Sam Hinkie stashed Dario Saric for several years in Croatia. The 76ers did not win basketball games. And boom, he pops up on our screen, blocking Pau Gasol, sealing a pretty big upset win for Croatia. But I think we learned that nobody in the Olympics is going to challenge America if Spain can't get its act together.
By the way, one more former Bull on the Spanish team played the same number of minutes in this game that he played in his entire Bulls career, and that is Jose Calderon.
Wow. I didn't think about that. That's one of those, like, the Andrew Bynum era of the Bulls.
J.R. Smith era.
All these eras of Bulls that we forget about. The Jose Calderon era didn't last long.
No, that's a little less than a month.
Andrew Bynum era lasted 7 minutes?
Something like a couple of hours, maybe.
We're talking, of course, about the infamous press release, I believe.
The Bulls conveyed the contract of Luol Deng to the Cavaliers.
And they got Andrew Bynum in return, and they barely acknowledged that they had Andrew Bynum.
No, they acquired the headline. Before. I think the headline was, Bulls acquire several future draft picks from...
The press release made it seem like they weren't even talking about human beings, which at that
They conveyed the contract of Luol Deng. That's just my favorite. That's my favorite wording.
He meant
wording
so much to the organization for so many years.
He gave him 9 years, multiple time all-star lockdown defender, and then conveyed his contract for future draft picks.
And that was obviously a money situation. They're trying to stay out of the luxury tax. So it's a cutthroat, dark world when you're talking about staying out of the luxury tax, I guess, right?
Yeah, in that way alone, the last several Bulls seasons have been successes.
I guess they have stayed out of luxury tax. The big news for Team USA, I guess not big news, the next step is they play Venezuela on Monday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, I believe.
You were at the exhibition game here against Venezuela. Give us a scouting report.
Venezuela can't shoot very well. They're athletically overmatched everywhere on the floor, and they're more interested in getting pictures with Team USA than they are locking Team USA down on defense. They were on the receiving end of maybe the first and only time I've seen a basketball play completed a full 94 feet with two taps of the ball and zero passes, a double tap that resulted in a Jimmy Butler dunk. My favorite Venezuela, I guess, subplot was in that post-game press conference. John Cox was up there, and he's their best player. Good international player for someone like Venezuela. But he's the cousin of Kobe Bryant, and he was asked about what NBA players had influenced him and served as a model. Who do you think he said? Not Kobe Bryant.
I'm going to guess that he said LeBron James.
He said Andre Miller.
Really?
Yes. I was like dying laughing, like trying to stifle my laughter in there. Like, I don't know. I was kind of laugh happy because it was an awful basketball
Andre
game.
Miller, like low key, has actually had a really long career and a very successful career.
Cashed them checks,
he
right?
He was a keep getting them checks Hall of Famer. Very good for a very, he was never like super flashy, but he was very good for a very long time.
I believe the line I've heard, that the line is 50.5 for Team USA versus Venezuela. So are you going to take Venezuela with the 50.5 points, or do you have Team USA with another 57-point route?
Well, the line, I believe, on the China game yesterday was 49.5, and the U.S. just blew past that. I'm going to, like, in these games against teams that are not real threats, like, I mean, there are some teams where if the U.S. played them, like, they may not be in danger of losing, but it would at least be competitive. We're talking about, like, Spain, France, even Croatia has some NBA guys. Venezuela, it's going to be a bloodbath, just like the China game was.
Yeah, and I guess looking forward to Tuesday, it'll be an interesting game. Spain and Brazil, so you'll see a couple goals in that one. That's early Tuesday afternoon. But that does bring us back to Chris Felicio, who Brazil lost to Lithuania in pool play opener. He had 4 points, 4 rebounds in 14 minutes. And we did have a question regarding Chris Felicio from Chris on Twitter. And you can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, as well as Cody Westerlund, at Cody Westerlund, and at Hyken. Feel free to send us questions. But Chris asks, how many games will Chris Felicio and Denzel Valentine combine to play for the Windy City Bulls this year? Over under 20.5 games.
Under.
Under?
I think it depends a lot on injuries, and the Bulls have a lot of guys ahead of them in the rotation that have had a history of getting injured. I think they're going to be counted on too much in the NBA to spend a lot of time in the D League. But, yeah, I mean, especially now that they play at Hoffman Estates, which is very close, if they're in the middle of a homestand, they're going to send them down if the Windy City Bulls are playing on an off day.
I would take the under as well. I mean, Felicio right now is the backup center, and he's going to need to play for the Bulls. He needs to be around their practices for them so he can keep learning that learning curve. So wouldn't be surprised to see him a couple times there, but 20 seems like quite a bit of games combined for him and Valentine. I do think the Bulls probably would have sent Bobby Portis there on several occasions last year, don't you think?
If they had more of a...
early in the season before the injuries. I guess. I mean, that
if they had their own D-League team, I think they would have, just because when they didn't have their own D-League team, they had to send him to whichever team had space. I think they sent him to one of the Texas ones, like Rio Grande Valley or Austin. Yeah.
They sent him to Canton one time, I think Ohio Canton, one time.
Right. Like, just having your own D-League team that has your own coaches and your own system and stuff. And by the way, we're still waiting on any kind of announcement about who's going to be on the Windy City Bowl or who's going to be coaching them. But having your own D-League team that's in close proximity where you don't have to fly guys back and forth, it's just a little drive out to the suburbs to practice or play in a game, it's going to be beneficial.
That was long overdue for the Bulls to get that team. Yeah. I mean, I think, 22 teams or so somewhere in that area probably have their own affiliations?
Yeah,
now.
I think there's about somewhere 8 that don't.
Okay, somewhere in that range. But, I mean, that's kind of overlooked by them, and I know it's not like minor league baseball here where you really... have an in-depth, wide array of hundreds and hundreds of players in your system.
How many rounds are in the baseball draft? It's like 60.
Oh, it's like 40 now.
It's in the 60s, right?
I know it's 40. I know it's at least 40. But it might have used to be in the 60s. I think it's in the 40s, though. Nothing like the NBA, obviously, which is two rounds, which I think is probably fine and enough. There's been some speculation a little bit of going to three rounds in the NBA draft again. I don't know that there's been speculation in the league office, but it's been written about a little bit because so many teams do have their own D-League teams now that you could kind of grow and mold your own talent. If you had a little more of it, would you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, one of the things that's been kicked around by people who are really invested in these things, and I think it's a very good idea personally, would be the idea of having a couple of extra slots on a roster, like that are two-way slots designated.
Yeah.
Where
not all guaranteed money in the NBA,
right? But like players contract. Get the players there, like you can send them down to the D League and call them back up without having to waive somebody on your roster to do that, and they get paid. Because right now, D League players, the highest D League salary is like $25K. It's terrible, and that's why you see so many guys who get undrafted take the money. Because if you can make like $150K or $200K playing overseas
somewhere.
Yeah. Versus making $25,000 playing in the D League, you're going to take the money and go play in Europe, and play in Spain or play in China or play wherever.
Yeah.
But if they can, especially with all this new TV money coming in as we get closer to all 30 teams having their own D League, if they could maybe step up and pay the D League players a little bit more, then yeah, I could see having a third round of the draft and getting international guys to come over.
The CBA, they could be having CBA discussions fairly soon, because
they've been having them. Both.
Oh yeah, I'm saying. I mean, it could tread toward lockout territory, because either side has by December 15th, I believe, to opt out the players' union or the league, and that's expected probably that they will opt out and reset some talks and. I don't know if there's going to be headed for a lockout.
Well,
interesting. But you did, didn't you reference something about Adam Silver the other night?
Yeah, Adam Silver, they've actually, both sides have talked about this pretty recently. Michelle Roberts was on SportsCenter last week, the Players Union Executive Director, and she said that they've been having discussions behind the scenes and that they're pretty optimistic that they're going to have a new deal in place before the start of the season. Those are her words. I don't know if that's a little too optimistic, but she didn't make it seem like that's that far out of the realm of possibility. And then Adam Silver did an interview with Bloomberg Business Magazine. And he said, the thing that I found interesting about what he said was that because one of the things that the league has really been pushing, and I have to say, I have to commend both sides in these negotiations about not anything leaking about what each side wants and how hard they're pushing for it, because I think they both made the promise to each other that they weren't going to negotiate through the media. And I think it's a good sign that both sides have kind of stuck with
that.
Been leaking stuff, and there's been no sources say that Adam Silver has drawn a hard line in the sand about this, or the players union isn't willing to budge on this. But he said in this interview with Bloomberg that the 2-year age restriction, which is something the NBA has pushed for in the past, making it so you have to be 2 years removed from high school instead of 1 year, which is something that the NBA has really pushed and said the league would be better if this was in place. He said that it seems like that's probably not going to change in the short term. And if he's been talking about that publicly as something that's not going to change, that makes me think, because that's going to be one of the most contentious issues in these discussions, because the players' union is going to want the people to be able to come in just out of high school, and if the league wants a 2-year age limit. It seems like if Adam Silver is saying publicly, when his job is basically to posture in favor of the owners, he's saying publicly that they're not going to probably change that rule in the short term. That makes me think that that's not a sticking point, and that's a little bit encouraging. There might not be a lockout.
The good news in all of this is that there's not heated, contentious talks about the basic bottom line revenue split.
Well, we don't know. There might have been.
It seems like right now that the talks are kind of more peripheral issues. Like max contract stuff, maybe having one superstar be able to make more than 35% of the salary cap, for example. Now we're getting into the minutiae.
And again, this is all totally blind speculation, because there's been no leaks or reports about what they're actually talking about. To me, it's like they just need to nail down the revenue split, because right now it's around 50-50. It was 57% of the players
previously
in the previous CBA before the 2011 lockout. I'm sure the players would like to get some of that back, and I'm sure the owners would love to get even more of that from the players, even more of that pie. But if they can just nail down the revenue split, everything else is just going to fall into place. But it seems like if they're that's kind of the attitude that they have, which is that they, you know, if they can nail down these other issues, just agree on a number for the revenue split that allows both sides to save face and neither side, because the players got worked in the last CBA compared to what it was before. So I was in the last month or so, I had been starting to think that there was probably going to be a lockout, but the stuff that both Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts have said over the last couple of weeks makes me think there might not be. I mean, obviously I hope there's not, because I do not want a repeat of 2011 where we didn't know when there was going to be basketball again, and then we had that shortened season with the back-to-back-to-backs and a lot of injuries and just really bad games because of the cramped schedule. But
yeah, to be clear, basketball is everything's fine for the 2016-17 season.
It's the summer of 2017.
Yeah, when it would be an issue. But so for this next season, ties into Greek Bulls fan asking us on Twitter, is there one thing Felicio does at a very high level or a very low level? I think he's just an average player, a decent backup. But
that's what Greek Bulls fan, the average player, decent backup, that's from our listener. And we thank all of our listeners all over the world, Greek Bulls fans. Shout out to all of our listeners in Greece and everywhere else in the world.
He does do one thing really well, though, that we found.
Yeah, I was looking on Synergy, and his
Felicio.
Cristiano Felicio scores 1.294 points per possession as a pick-and-roll finisher, which is in the 92nd percentile of everybody in the league who has finished pick-and-roll possessions. And it's a very tiny sample size. I think it's like 34 possessions. But that was his most used play type in the handful of games where he actually played extended minutes. So, I mean, yeah. I think there's no reason to believe that he's young enough, and he's shown like he's a good finisher. I think there's no reason to believe that that's not sustainable.
I like that he's decisive. I mean, he knows when he gets the ball as a pick-and-roll finisher, he's not going to, like, mess around or anything. He's going to the hoop, and he's going to try for a layup, a dunk, or he's moving the ball onto the next person. And I think I flashed back to that Cavs game on a Saturday night on national TV when the Bulls kept their playoff hopes alive for, like, 24 more hours or something. And Felicio had a couple really nifty, good left-handed finishes. And I think that's somewhat telling because he's early in his basketball development, having played soccer earlier in his life and not taking on basketball full-time till he's a teenager, really. That's a guy who's already showing with his offhand that he has touch, that he has a feel for the game. And that's something that doesn't come along as well for some, especially guys that play the game later in their life. So, I mean, I think it's reasonable to think that our questioner or listener here says he thinks he's average, a decent backup. I don't think the Bulls believe they're not planning for him to be an all-star or anything, but they like him, and that's helpful.
Well, they don't need him to be that. They have a starting center, and that's Robin Lopez. They don't need him to be a guy. And Robin Lopez, by the way, has been pretty durable in his career. He's not a guy that's had a lot of injury problems over the years, unlike his brother Brooke, who has had repeated foot problems. Robin has been pretty consistent in terms of playing, you know, 65, 70-plus games every year. So the Bulls really don't need Felicio to be more than a competent backup. And if he can do that, then that's a net positive for them, considering it's an undrafted guy that they just randomly signed and invited to training camp off their summer league roster last year. That's like the best case scenario for one of those guys.
Absolutely. Thomas via Twitter asks, how will international play help these Bulls guys that are in Rio? I believe that if you look back, international basketball has really been a launching point for a lot of NBA players over the past 4 or 5 years, going back to 2014.
No, even before that, 2010, Derrick Rose played in the FIBA tournament. Absolutely. When that was right, the summer before his MVP year, and he talked at the time about how much that experience meant to him and how that helped him, and that, you know, being around that kind of culture with, you know, with Coach K and with all this other, you know, that level of players, because like Kevin Durant was on that team, Steph Curry was on that team, Andre Iguodala was on that team. I think, I mean, and not that there's really going to be any competition for the U.S. team in the Olympics, but being around this level of players and coaches, this is the best team. Like, it's not even close. This is the best team that Jimmy Butler has ever been a part of.
Oh, absolutely. This is some of the best coaching he's ever got, too.
Right.
You got Tom Thibodeau for 4 years, I think, Jimmy played under.
But now,
now he's Coach K. He's got Jim Boeheim.
Monty Williams.
Got Monty Williams. I mean, these are some of the brightest minds.
And then he's got, on his team, he's got, you know, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, Paul George, Kyle Lowry.
And what's fascinating is LeBron has cited this before, but LeBron saw how hard Kobe Bryant worked in the 2008 Olympics, just being around him in training camp, being around him those exhibition games, and then when they went to Beijing and won the gold medal. And LeBron has cited Kobe as an inspiration. Like, Kobe was getting up, working out, and he's famous for this. Well known. The stories are epic. I think there was a story one time where a rookie on the Lakers, Kobe asked him to work out at 3, and the rookie thought Kobe meant 3 p.m. So Kobe showed up outside the rookie's hotel room at 3 a.m. He's like, hey, let's go. And the guy had no clue. I'm blanking on the name of who it was.
I remember this story, too.
I think it was a tale written by Sports Illustrated's Lee Jenkins. But LeBron cited Kobe's just commitment. And, I mean, we know Jimmy Butler is committed to,
right, that's
to
not,
the he, basketball aspect. He works out three times a day.
Jimmy's not a guy that needs motivation to work, but it's still
being around KD.
You know, Kevin Durant's been an MVP in this league. He's been to the finals. He's been in the Olympics before. Carmelo Anthony, this is his fourth
Klay
Olympics
Thompson's
that he's played in.
Thompson's won an NBA title.
So is Draymond Green.
Absolutely.
A lot of these guys.
For Jimmy, maybe not so much the basketball part, but honestly, what he could probably take away more than anything is how those guys comport themselves. Because Jimmy hasn't always done that as well as he needs to for the Bulls. Obviously, the comments that made Fred Hoiberg's job a lot harder last year.
Right.
But just, I mean, a little friction in the locker room. But to be around these guys that are really true professionals in the effort they put in basketball, but also in how they lead. Jimmy needs to pick up on the leadership characteristics, the tendencies, those qualities, I think, are what would serve Jimmy most. For a guy like Chris Felicio,
Nico Mirotic, these young guys, just
play more basketball against good competition.
It's going to be great, especially for Felicio, because if you look at these guys that are on the Brazilian team with him, you know, Nene is a veteran guy who's very well respected. Leandro Barbosa has been in the league for a long time. These are guys that have managed to have very long careers for themselves despite never really being stars. And that's kind of what Felicio is at this point, is a guy who needs to kind of carve out a niche for himself in the league. So being around those guys and seeing them work, I think, is going to be good for him. And, you know, the same thing with Nico Mirotic. Like, the guys, I mean, obviously he played with Pau for 2 years already, so he doesn't, you know, need to be introduced to the way Pau works or the way that Pau carries himself. But there's still a lot of veteran guys on that. Ricky Rubio, Sergio Rodriguez, sure. Rudy Fernandez, Jose Calderon. Guys who have been in the league before. And just, you know, just being around guys like that and playing on this stage. And, it, I mean, some of these international tournaments, like, it's cool. This is the Olympics. Like, that means something to guys, especially in these other countries. In the USA, like, USA basketball doesn't really mean as much to the average fan as the NBA. But for these other countries, like, this is their chance to be on this big stage where the entire world is watching. And I think it's going to be very good for all those guys.
Yeah, and in 2014, Steph Curry and James Harden both used that World Cup experience with USA to launch their careers to a new level. They went 1-2 in the MVP voting. So definitely very helpful. I mean, I'm always a believer in be around great basketball players, play a lot of basketball against good competition, wherever you can find it, whenever. So helpful for Nico, Jimmy, and Chris as they continue their Olympic competition in Rio. Dwayne Wade, still in the Chicago area. Dwayne Wade, also.
Is he back in Chicago? Because last week I saw him.
Where was he last? It's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Where in the world is Dwayne Wade?
I saw him in Miami hanging out with Chris Bosh. He and Gabrielle were at Chris and Adrian's
place.
You
say that like you were in Miami. Like, I saw him in Miami. You saw him in Miami via social media?
Via Snapchat, obviously.
Okay.
Every time I see Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union, just so we're 100% clear, I'm not flying over them with a drone camera doing that. We're working on it. But if we do that, we'll be the first to let you know. If sponsors want to email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com, if they want to give us some money to do some live reads on the show, maybe we'll be able to buy one of those drone things to actually follow Dwayne and Gabrielle around. But for now, yes, Snapchat.
I think that's illegal, but
it is. But I mean, there was that whole thing like a couple summers ago when a bunch of Cavs fans were just tracking Dan Gilbert's plane, and that was a whole day on Twitter, and that ended up was the summer when we didn't know whether LeBron was going to go back to Cleveland.
That's the number one like mechanism for reporting if you're a college reporter, with all these athletic directors and school presidents flying across the country when football or basketball season ends. You just track their planes. So there's precedent for that, of course. But Dwayne Wade, I was saying, getting ready for Chicago winners. Even if he's in Miami, he's getting ready for Chicago because he bought a new truck.
What kind of truck?
He bought a Ford F-250 Super Duty.
Nice.
According to Dwayne's Snapchat, he'd always wanted one and had seen teammates with him. It sounded like Chris Anderson had played an influential role, Birdman,
that
earlier in
surprise.
His career, for having a truck, and Dwayne kind of always wanted one.
That doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
He's got one. He's got a lot of snaps of him just cruising around in his truck now, listening to music.
What kind of music is he listening to?
I don't know what he was listening to. It escapes me. We'll have to check that out and give the people an update in the next Locked On Bulls. But, yeah, so everything, it seems to be going well for Dwayne Wade, who I'm sure will remain a hoot for us to follow here in his inaugural Bulls season.
I've been enjoying having him and Gabby in our lives in the Snapchat level.
It's wonderful. And Gabby gave an interview to Alex Kennedy of Basketball Insiders. Did you read it?
Yeah, I did. She
did you have any takeaways? Like,
yeah, I thought it was great. She's very funny. She's outspoken. I like her.
Yeah, it's gonna be something else. And again, I mean, if we're setting odds for if it goes wrong, who's gonna be the first to acknowledge it goes wrong? We still have Gabby Union as the clubhouse leader, I think, in all of that. Do we not?
My goal for the season, because she said she's going to be reading everything.
Oh.
And doing that. My goal for the season is to write something during the year that causes her to slide in the DMs.
That would be a achievement. The crowning jewel of your Twitter career, I would say. If you could do that.
I would say that's probably true, except for the four different times that Soulja Boy has followed and unfollowed me.
So is he currently following
me? He does currently follow me.
Well, your Wi-Fi network's named after Soulja Boy, right?
Of course it is.
Okay. So
why would it be named?
You should tell him that on Twitter. You should tell him.
I don't think he really pays attention to his mentions that aren't, like, thirst trap Instagram models. I don't think he pays attention to
that. That's very true. So we'll keep you updated with everything. The big news in the NBA for this week will be what we hope.
We're going to have hard.
We half expect
hard
to be the schedule release sometime, we think.
This not 100% official yet, but I've been told by a couple of people in the league office that Thursday is tentatively the date that they're expected to unveil the schedule. They'll probably do some kind of NBA TV coordinator release thing. I will try to get my hands on it early before that. We will. Whatever day they release the schedule, we will have an episode where we talk about kind of what are the games to circle. We might get several episodes out of it. We're getting into the point of the summer where there's not a lot of stuff to talk about. We could easily get, because we'll talk about, like, let's break down their national TV games. Let's break down their, like, we can cut it into different episodes if we want to.
We sure could, but obviously, Bulls Timberwolves at the United Center. The game we'll be most looking forward to seeing when the date is.
Well, there's that. I mean, on the Bulls level, that yes, but then there's also the first Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah game at the United Center. That's going to be interesting. And the Bulls' first game in Miami, Dwayne Wade going
That's going to be early November, first couple weeks of November. The Miami Herald, one of the Miami Herald beat writers reported.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I didn't see that.
It'll be early in the season, the first one.
See, Dwayne, I was thinking, I had thought that was going to be, if not opening night, I had thought that was going to be like either Christmas or MLK Day, which is the other league-wide showcase day. I had thought that they would try to, you know, have it on one of those days, but hey, I guess not. I didn't see that report.
That'll be an emotional night for Dwayne Wade. I mean, there's still a sense to me that, like, he
right,
loves Miami,
like,
more than he likes the Bulls.
Well,
you know,
right,
what
no,
I mean?
it'll be like Paul Pierce when he was with Brooklyn. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett when they went back to Boston,
and then and set up all the kind of the sappy feature stories,
right,
that are well-deserved, very well-deserved.
He's going to get a real nice video tribute. It's going to be great.
It'll be better than the Kirk Heinrich video tribute that the Bulls give?
I don't know, because we haven't seen, unlike that last Kirk Heinrich video tribute, which they recycled from the first time he got traded.
They recycled some of it.
They recycled the theme music. That's all I know.
They recycled
the theme music, but unlike this, we haven't seen the Heat's Dwayne Wade tribute video before.
That's true.
So we don't
know.
That's
true. I'm sure it'll be great.
I'm sure they'll
Hopefully, our next podcast will be great as well. As always, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Hyken, at Cody Westerlund. Email us with any basketball questions, any advertising inquiries to LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Where do they find us, Sean?
Where do they not find us at this point? We're on pretty much every platform where you can get podcasts. We're on iTunes. You can go on there, leave us a 5-star review. That would be very helpful. We're also on Stitcher. We're on Audio Boom. We're on Google Play. We're on TuneIn. I'm sure there are other places that we don't even know that we're on, but those are the five I know that we're on.
That's good.
Anywhere so, you can get podcasts, you can get Locked On Bulls, and you can get other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, their season is about to start. Arthur Arkush
is launching Locked On Bears.
He had at least one episode. I don't know if he's had two yet, but he's had at least one episode. So if you're a Bears fan, you should definitely check that out.
The only thing that can rival talking about backup Bulls point guard situations is backup Bears safety situations and how that'll play out. So
yeah,
there you go. So keep listening, tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.